Okay, so Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, no surprise there, and then Notre Dame at four. What do you think about the top four? How does Vegas see the top four?
Honestly, I really have no problem with Notre Dame being up there. Of course, the Irish are going to have a couple of tests remaining to really prove their mettle. If they go on the road and win in Palo Alto against Stanford for their final regular season game, I think you can definitely make the case that a one-loss Irish team whose only defeat could come against the potential number one team in the country against Clemson deserves full inclusion. For me personally, I have Notre Dame a little bit further down on my totem pole. I still think TCU is a better football team. Oklahoma probably a slight nod better. And Baylor remains the real enigmatic side. Of course, we'll get a much better inclination of who the Bears are when they play host to the Sooners this weekend.
I think the whole thing is interesting. So Notre Dame makes it in. I think it would have been easy to keep them out just for debate sake for later, because now it's hard to take them out if they don't play well. But we'll see how it all goes.
You know what? That's my one fear, Brent. We saw last year with these Big 12 teams, the committee says, oh, well, if a team plays better, we're going to, you know, allow them to play their way in. Well, what you've done now is you've set a precedent saying if these teams keep on winning, we're not going to slide them out. And the real team that I have issues with, and I've made my feelings pretty well known through social media, is that Iowa isn't the fifth best team in the land. Tennessee fans watched that bowl game a year ago. Anyone who's watched the Hawkeyes this season, the best offense they've played this year is Indiana. Aside from Indiana and Wisconsin, they have not faced another offense in the top 90. So this thing about them having the 10th best defense in the country, there's a lot of noise in those numbers.
They have played two ranked teams, though, at the time. Ohio State has played none. You can make a case that their resume is better than Ohio State right now, even though, as Blaine says, the eyeball test clearly tells you that Iowa's not the fifth best team in the country.
I can make the case. I definitely can. I understand where Iowa fans are coming from there, but when Iowa loses to Nebraska the final regular season game, we'll know exactly what the Hawkeyes are made of. And Ohio State, if they lose to Michigan, sure, they'll have a blemish on their resume, and I would make a case that they don't deserve to be included. But overall talent, as Blaine indicates, you watch both those teams side by side. One has players that are going to translate to the next level. One has a nice crop of guys who really buy into a team concept.
I really believe that if the playoff went down right now, that Alabama would win it. Having said that, and this is the beauty of sports and also my hypocrisy, I think Mississippi State may beat Alabama straight up this weekend in Starkville.
I have absolutely no argument with you there. When you look at Mississippi State, my power numbers actually make the Bulldogs a 6-point dog on a neutral field. So when you factor in the raucous atmosphere that we're going to see in Starkville this Saturday when Alabama comes to town, you can make the case that this number maybe should be 3, 3.5. Alabama historically has struggled the game after playing LSU. 0-4 against the spread. A lot of those came against Mississippi State with bigger numbers. But the Bulldogs have an element that LSU didn't, and that's a quarterback capable of stretching the field, making plays with both his arm and his legs. And from what I saw from Jake Coker, if you sell out to stop Derrick Henry, Alabama's offense doesn't scare you, and I think that defense hasn't been tested by a dual-threat quarterback in quite some time.
I'll tell you a game to stay the hell away from, too, Georgia at Auburn. What do you think?
This is a game where you're trying to figure out the identity of these two teams. I think Georgia will have some success running the football. Auburn's defensive line has really been a liability for them. They got better quarterback play a week ago from Jeremy Johnson and going on the road and beating A&M. But clearly a coin flip football game. Auburn, major revenge from being embarrassed between the hedges a season ago. But much like you, Brett, this isn't a game that I want to run to invest in anytime soon.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, at Todd Furman on Twitter, toddstake.com.
Oh, for my disdain for Iowa, I have one more question for you, Todd. Make sure you have the list of all the top 15 in the country in college football. Would Iowa be favored against any of the top 15 in the country on a neutral site?
Top 15 would be generous.
I'd even go top 20.
Top 15 would be generous. I actually don't have Iowa favored against anyone in the top 20. And I actually had a quote from one of the more prominent odds makers out here at the Westgate Superbook. His quote to me this morning, I was surprised that I only have 9 teams outside my top 10 that would be favored over Iowa right now. So that he has 19 teams better than the Hawkeyes, and that includes the likes of Tennessee. Even Georgia, I can make the case, deserves to be a favorite over Iowa, a team like Boise State. And, you know, I have no hatred towards Iowa. It's just the nature of the business. Oklahoma, who's further down the totem pole, would be about a touchdown favorite over the Hawkeyes as well.
Speaking of your power numbers, where do you have Tennessee?
I have Tennessee right inside the top 20. It's been real tough for me to try and figure out how to price them accordingly. Yeah. Because every time they're an underdog, they give their best effort. And then when I think I'm ready to try and anoint them taking the next step is the text I sent you, Brent, after a good first half against South Carolina. They go out there, lay an egg the second half, and almost lose to South Carolina as 17-point favorites.
Well, you know, I'm backed up to my prop bets, man. I'm trying to throw some curveballs at you before I get into all these college and NFL games. But And we don't have Mickey here, so I can ask you some prop bets. That is, who will be in the NCAA Final Four?
Bam! Are we talking college football or college basketball?
No, basketball. We already talked about football.
Who starts up in earnest?
I'm getting them ahead of time. We got college basketball starting here on Friday, man. Come on,
yeah,
man.
When you look at some of the future numbers, if you want to go off the odds board, the teams that are up there are the traditional college basketball blue bloods. Maryland might be a little bit of a surprise to the casual fan. They're listed at 12-1. Duke, anywhere from 10-12-1. North Carolina, 9-1. Kentucky up there as well. And Kansas is a team I don't think getting enough credit. You look at the amount of senior leadership they'll bring back. We know Bill Self has owned the Big 12. I think if you're talking about favorites, Kansas at 13-1 makes a lot of sense. Now, for folks in the Nashville area, they'll be happy to hear Vanderbilt has got a ton of attention from some of the professionals. You could add the Commodores anywhere from 80-1 up to 100-1 about 4 or 5 months ago. That number has crashed considerably here in town. The going rate now on Vandy, right around 35 or 40. You can find a little bit better price offshore, though, if you want to try and look around for it.
All right, and before I get into college, I guess, tell us that the Titans are going to take down Superman and Cam Newton and crew.
I told you they had a great shot to go on the road in New Orleans last week.
Did.
I wasn't blowing smoke, and I think, again, this weekend, Tennessee is in an outstanding spot as a live home underdog, not only catching 5, but a chance to win the game outright. Carolina comes into this spot off 3 straight home games, very emotional wins on Monday night against the Colts, last week against Green Bay, and it would not shock me in the least if they're a little bit flat coming into Nashville. If Marcus makes plays with his arm and his leg, assuming that Carolina tries to at least pretend to cover Delanie Walker, I still think Tennessee has a great chance to pull off another upset.
Wow.
Oh, man. Does UT cover versus North Texas?
You know what? You won't catch me laying 40-plus this time of year, knowing that Tennessee has the bigger fish to fry. Current number there, guys, 41.5, total at 66.5. North Texas may rather be doing anything but playing football. I'm just not sure that Tennessee is going to bring the level of intensity you need to cover a 6-touchdown tariff over 4 quarters.
Can Vanderbilt get the quarterback to complete at least 5 passes and win this game versus Kentucky?
My God, Brent talked about figuring out Auburn, Georgia, and how to handicap that. The idea that Vanderbilt could be a favorite over an SEC opponent right now is mind-boggling, and I think that speaks more about where Kentucky's been going over the last couple weeks than it does about Vandy. I think points will be at a premium, the over-under at 38.5. I'll make a case to go under. I don't want to lay points with Vandy. I don't want to run to back Kentucky. But, you know, 6-7 completion seems like a reasonable request for the Vandy quarterback situation.
Well, a game that I think may be an upset alert. That's Arkansas at LSU. I know LSU usually doesn't win back-to-back games, but, man, Arkansas, I really like the way they play.
Yeah, break up that Razorback offensive juggernaut. 56 points and change over their averaging over the last 3 games. You watch their effort against Ole Miss going up and down the field, and you can make the case that the defensive liabilities weren't exactly something to get all that excited about, but I think LSU a little bit hungover from the Alabama loss. Arkansas can overwhelm them in the trenches, and it's not the kind of team you want to play against if you're not going to bring it for the full 60 minutes. My concern here is that LSU does have revenge from an embarrassing effort a season ago where they lost to the Razorbacks 17-0. But this is definitely a spot where it's dog or nothing if you're looking to wager on the game.
All right, 2 ranked teams in the Big 12. Big matchup, Oklahoma versus Baylor.
Yeah, this is an interesting game because you've seen money from the professionals come in on Oklahoma, and it's taken it through the key number of 3. But I'm a little bit skeptical. I don't necessarily buy that as the true position that the wise guys believe is the way to bet this game. I have Baylor and Oklahoma relatively equal on a neutral field, but when you look at what Baylor's been able to accomplish in Waco, they've been an absolute juggernaut. So home field alone for me here, 5.5 points. It's Baylor or nothing. The one concern I have, though, Seth Russell was only sacked 3 times as Baylor's starting quarterback. Stidham was hit and sacked 6 times against Kansas State. Now, I know it was his first start on the road in hostile territory. The game plan will be a little bit more simplistic, but you can't really argue that Baylor hasn't played anybody. I still think, though, this Bears team is just too much to stop, and I'm not buying the Sooners just yet.
2-part prop question before we let you go. Luck is out. Does that change any of the odds for the Colts? And then part 2 of that is, who now is favored for the AFC South? Because, realistically, the Titans still got a shot, right?
You know what? It has changed the odds quite a bit. Most books have pulled those numbers off the board. But going into the game against the Saints last week, you could have had the Titans at 25-1. That number has been cut down substantially. And when you mention Luck's availability, we're not sure if he's out 2 weeks or upwards of 6 weeks. It's anybody's guess who comes out. I think if the Titans win this week, they're going to put the pressure on the likes of the Texans who probably go down on Monday night and the Colts who come out of the bye week. I still think it's Indy's to lose, even with Matt Hasselbeck as the quarterback, though.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas. Real quick, Todd, on the way out, Florida and South Carolina, 7.5 for the Gators. I think that might be a tighter game than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's South Carolina, nothing for me here. Florida, you know, clinched the SEC East. I know people are talking about them having an outside shot to get to the national title. I'm not of that mindset. Treyon Harris laying over a touchdown on the highway, a bit disconcerting. To South Carolina's credit, without Steve Spurrier, they've played better football, inspired, and I think they'll carry some of that emotion from the game against Tennessee. I like South Carolina here as a live dog.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
At Todd Furman on Twitter, toddstake.com, 3HL.